When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Text line 913-586-7965. I am going to tell you guys why I am a little bit worried about Cleveland heading into this matchup. First, I think the strengths of the Browns almost perfectly coincide with what I think the weaknesses are for Kansas City, and that is concerning to me. Let's start with Jameis. Jameis is an incredibly flawed player, but there are some good things about Jameis, and I know that he's going to be aggressive in challenging the Chiefs' corners and pushing the ball down the field. You are still going into this game with a cornerback room that is a little bit depleted. So I'm looking at the Cleveland Browns' passing attack is, I think they're going to be able to move the ball against the Chiefs. I don't know if they're putting up a bunch of points against Kansas City, but I do know that they're going to be able to move the ball and put themselves in position to score. That kind of worries me. Heading into the Panthers game, I wasn't as worried about it because I just don't really have a lot of faith in Bryce Young. Now, Bryce Young has looked better, and he kind of used that game as a catapult and a springboard. I kind of think the quarterback that the Chiefs just went up against in the Carolina game, they are playing a better version of that quarterback coming up on Sunday against Cleveland. So that worries me a little bit. I don't really see too many outcomes in which Kansas City holds Cleveland to 180 yards passing. Because if Cleveland's down, we know they're going to throw and throw and throw, and Jameis is going to take chances and be aggressive against this defense. That's the first thing that worries me. And I think that Myles Garrett is arguably the best defensive player in the league. I think as we currently sit, there are only two players that you can put in this conversation, and I'm not really going to fight you if you take the other guy. To me, the two best defensive players in the league are either Myles Garrett or TJ Watt. If you're taking TJ Watt, great, I'll take Myles Garrett. If you want to take Myles Garrett, I'll take TJ Watt, and I think we're both going to be fine. I think that Myles Garrett is one of the few defensive players that can almost single-handedly change the course of a game. Could I see a scenario in which Myles Garrett has two sacks in this game and a forced fumble, or is just a constant disruptor to the Chiefs? I could see that being the case. So I don't want to fearmonger here about Cleveland, but I just look at what does Cleveland do well? How did Cleveland beat Baltimore? How did Cleveland beat Pittsburgh? Two playoff teams. What can Cleveland do well? I think there are a couple things that Cleveland does pretty clearly well and what they could do well in this game that I think pose some problems for Kansas City. So that is where my kind of worry for this game comes into, Rob. I think that Jameis can throw the ball and move the ball against this defense. I also think that Myles Garrett can play well. And if those two things happen and you can get the Chiefs off the field in red zone scenarios and force them to kick field goals like we've seen these last couple of weeks, and you're putting constant pressure on that secondary, you have a chance of keeping this game close, and going into the 5 minutes, it can be anybody's game.
Stylistically, styles make fights, and the Browns have a style that could be a problem for the Chiefs. They can throw the ball over the yard, albeit sometimes the wrong team, but they can throw the ball over the yard, and they can rush the passer. I understand your fear. And maybe we're saying the same thing differently, but I'm confused if you think the Browns potentially match up well against the Chiefs because of those two things. How can it not be a trap game? Or do you just think the Chiefs are aware of those two issues and they will come out and take care of business? Because it feels like when a lesser opponent has two potential advantages in a noon slot, it sounds like you're saying it without saying it. That feels like you're describing a trap against a three-win team.
Well, it's definitely the latter. I think it's one of those things that styles make fights. Like, if I asked you, what does Carolina do really well? Or what do the Raiders do really well? I don't really think that their strengths as a team kind of line up with Kansas City's. What does Cleveland do well? And I think they just line up. So to answer your question, it's what you just said. I think the Chiefs know the dangers that can pose. And if you're Patrick Mahomes, if you're this team, you just saw them beat Pittsburgh. You just saw them beat Baltimore. There's no real reason to me to look past them. And more specifically, I guess, aside from the Cleveland aspect, you need to play well yourself. You scored less than 21 points the last 2 weeks. If Kansas City scores 19 points again, they can lose to Cleveland. They can lose to any team in the National Football League for the most part if you're going to score less than 21 points. So it's about you kind of starting to play well and you kind of refining some of the things that you have. I think the Chiefs know the dangers that Cleveland can pose. Now, can that lock them in? Can they really play sharp? Can they play well? Can they manage some of the mistakes? Because Cleveland is going to do what most bad teams do. We can go to the last month and a half of games. Cleveland has been the reason they've won those games. Cleveland has also been the reason that they lost. They very easily could have beat the Broncos a couple of weeks ago. Well, when you give the other team 14 points because your offense turns touchdowns into it, you lost the game there. Last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, they had a chance to win that game. In the fourth quarter, you trusted Kadarius Toney to help you win. Shockingly, he failed in that scenario. So Cleveland is probably going to be good enough to put themselves in a position to win. They also are probably going to make one or two plays that take them out of contention to win. And when we come back together on Monday, we're going to say that game was close in the fourth quarter, but Kansas City made a couple of winning plays like they usually do, and Cleveland probably made two or three losing plays, and that's how they lost.
Is it also possible, and this is a weird sentence, is it possible we're overvaluing Jameis? Because Jameis is the epitome of giveth and taketh. We've seen him be really fun and really great this year. Like that Ravens game and that Broncos game and that Steelers game, Jameis was fun. But let's make no mistake about it. This is also the guy that threw, 20-plus interceptions in the season 1 year? I think some of that styles make fight is built out of the idea that, that Jameis can give them problems. Can't Jameis also be the marquee factor for why the Chiefs thump a Browns team on Sunday?
100%. 100%. I mean, Jameis Winston has made 86 starts in his NFL career, and he has thrown 108 interceptions. He had a season in which he threw 30 interceptions. So far this season, he has made 6 starts and thrown 9 interceptions. Jameis Winston can absolutely win you a game. He can absolutely lose you a game. Like, if we had to go through and we think of the basketball player that fits this, he's the pitcher that could very easily give you 7 dazzling innings. He also can get shelled and get pulled in the first inning. I don't know what to expect from Jameis Winston. Like, every time he goes out there, he is the absolute dealer's choice of what can happen. If we made a list right now, we could probably look this up. Look this up, Rob. How many quarterbacks in league history have thrown for 5,000 yards? I bet if we look at that list, it's a lot of who's who. I mean, Tom Brady has done it. Peyton Manning has done it before. Drew Brees has done it. Patrick Mahomes has done it. Jameis Winston is on that list. Jameis Winston has thrown 5,000 yards in his career and didn't start the next year and was on another team the year after throwing 5,000 yards because of his mistakes.
By the way, real quick, I pulled the list. This is a wild ride list. Dan Marino, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Jameis Winston.
Doesn't make any sense. Jameis is one of the biggest enigmas at quarterback that we have ever had. Jameis could score 25 in this game. Jameis could also score 4 points on 1 of 9 shooting and miss 7 threes in this game. I do not know what kind of quarterback play they are going to get. But what I do know is Jameis is going to give you between 2 to 4 opportunities to go win the game. And you just got to capitalize on it. Teams, for the most part, they capitalize on the mistakes of Jameis Winston. But you are 100% correct. Jameis giveth and he taketh. And that is really the big thing that has really kind of derailed his career. I mean, in Tampa Bay, he was a turnover machine. Ever since then, he's kind of been what he is. He's a backup that kind of floats around that you can kind of stomach in very small, limited doses. But if you let Jameis to his own devices and let him play, we kind of know what he is. He's a guy that's going to complete 60, 62% of his passes. He's going to be a guy that makes mistakes. I expect him to make mistakes on Sunday as the Chiefs travel to Cleveland. Coming up, we are going to travel to Cleveland. We're going to be joined by our guy, Chico Borman, one of my favorite guests to join the show. We'll get his thoughts on the Browns, their future with Deshaun Watson, also the present, and get you ready for Sunday's matchup. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by one of my favorite people to catch up with. If I had to make a list of my top 5 people from around the country to stop by and chat with or go on their show, Chico is near the top of that list, man. Chico Borman, he is with the Big Play Network with Cleveland. talking all things Cleveland Browns. Chico, man, happy holidays, man. Happy to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you, Carrington. Same to you. And, you know, I got to say, full disclosure here, when the schedule came out, being that, you know, I love talking to you and hanging out and you know, being on your show and vice versa, I thought, man, that's going to be a fun one in December. You know, the Browns fighting for their division title and the Chiefs fighting for their division title. And, well, one of them actually came to fruition, so congratulations on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with this. Chico, let's say that you go to Cleveland and you can give them the two options. You can give the Browns the number one overall pick, or Ohio State would fire Ryan Day and start over and hire Mike Vrabel, for example. Which one do you think that Ohio fans rather have? Would it be the Browns get the number one overall pick or Ryan Day get fired?
If I'll tell you this. Because you added it there at the end. If it's Vrabel, who is an Ohio guy, an Ohio State guy, and a Northeast Ohio guy in Walsh Jesuit, if it's Vrabel, I think they go that route. If it's not guaranteed Vrabel, I think they'd go Browns' number one pick. But it is very, very tight. But that you throwing in Vrabel, he is a very, very popular guy. But like I told a lot of fans, but we just saw Belichick, you know, go to UNC. I told fans, I can't see Mike Vrabel sitting across a kid who's trying to tell him and convince him that, you know, coach, my NIL value is X. Vrabel wouldn't give a damn about that, but who knows? What do I know? I don't know.
Let's say that Cleveland got the number one overall pick. What would they do? Because we know about Deshaun Watson's contract situation and how much dead cap they're tied up into. But you have the opportunity to get either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. Not really sure if you can pass on that if you're the Cleveland Browns. Let's say they did get the number one overall pick. What do you think they would do?
I mean, if they fall in love with the QB, I thought we were done with these conversations years ago, but I guess not. If you fall in love with the QB in the draft process, grab him. But if that guy's not somebody you've completely fallen in love with and you think he can, you know, change your organization, then I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't take the QB, whether it's Sanders, Ward, you know, whoever. You know, they've got a lot of – I mean, Carrington, we're looking at a roster right now that, you know, for next year, you don't have a QB under contract necessarily, a QB1 under contract. You don't have a, and again, the Deshaun Watson situation speaks for itself. Running back, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb doesn't even really know. Left tackle, offensive tackle, you don't really know there. They've got a lot of decisions at very, very key positions for next year that really is completely up in the air. So I would say everything's on the table and that I wouldn't be – unless they fall in love with the guy, I don't think you unquestionably go quarterback with that number one pick if they were to get it.
Chico, as a fan of college football and also the NFL, can you imagine if I told you a decade ago that Jameis Winston would be the beloved quarterback and not Deshaun Watson? Like, that's crazy to think of. Certainly the perception around both of them entering the National Football League, Jameis was maybe the most polarizing quarterback prospect that I can remember, and everybody loved Deshaun Watson when he was at Clemson and early on in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Deshaun was kind of that guy that, especially in college, like, you know, when he beats Alabama and you're going, okay, well, all the things that you wanted to say negative about this guy, or, well, he can't win the big one, or he can't, well, he just slayed the dragon that is Saban in Alabama. I mean, this kid, you know, he does it all, and he does it all seemingly the right way. That would change. But, you know, yeah, you're right. Now Jameis Winston is calling on God to deliver him from pick sixes, which, by the way, for those that, you know, want to believe, they did have a pick last week, and that pick did not go to the house. So apparently Jameis's prayers answered from the man up above, as he did not allow him to basically cash in on that pick six.
Right now, we're talking to Chico Borman, learning a little bit more about the Cleveland Browns. Chico, this is where I got to have a little bit of beef with the people in Cleveland. I know you guys have television. I know you guys have the internet. I know you watch the NFL. Did you not see Kadarius Toney play for the Kansas City Chiefs? How did you guys think that he was going to help you win games? He couldn't help Patrick Mahomes win games.
Yeah, I don't know if that was – that's interesting you say that, because when they – when they picked him up, I think that had to be more of a return specialist type guy. And, you know, the attitude and whatever, obviously we saw how that came to fruition. But I think that was more of a, they looked at him as a vertical threat, obviously, with his speed. But I think they looked more at, wow, could he be a guy that really helps us on special teams? And it never really materialized. But, yeah, you know, hey, the Browns at this point, they're going to give pretty much anybody a shot. And I can't believe I'm saying that, but that's where we're at right now.
So this is where I am with Sunday's game against Cleveland. The Chiefs should win this game, but I'm not looking at Cleveland like a regular bad team. Let's say that Jameis had been starting from Cleveland from the very, very beginning. I think Cleveland maybe has 5 or 6 wins, so they're maybe a little closer to Cincinnati and Miami than they are than the number one overall pick. I also think that Jameis is just scrappy enough where he's going to throw for 290 yards in this game, so you expect Cleveland to be able to move the ball. I also look at Myles Garrett and the kind of pass rusher that he is, that I could see him taking advantage of the offensive line for Kansas City. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game, but I do think that Cleveland is just scrappy enough to make this game way more uncomfortable than it should be late.
Yeah, it's funny. I was on a show yesterday with some guys from Baltimore, and they said, man, are you kind of surprised this line is only 4.5? And I said no, because of basically what you just pointed out. And for me, it's a lot of the latter. You mentioned Myles Garrett. You know, that offensive line, you guys know, I'm sure, has been banged up, and it's going to be an issue. You could see Myles Garrett feasting a little bit back there. But in the end, you know, we're talking about one team that absolutely knows how to close out games, that when they absolutely have to have it, that drive, that play, whatever, they're going to get it. And one team that, you know, obviously is 3-10 for a reason or whatever it is, and probably won't. I think it's going to be tight, but I think, you know, you go down the list of the Browns kicker, Dustin Hopkins hasn't played well this year. Is it a late penalty? Is it a late Jameis interception? Is it a late play made by the Chiefs on the Browns defense? All of those could be in play, but I'm with you. And I think a lot of folks here feel the same way. I think it's going to be close. I do. But in the end, do you trust the Browns to you know, get out of here with a win? I don't think so, not against this team.
I think that's a really good way of putting it, and I just see it every week with Kansas City. The Chiefs are usually going to make one or two winning plays, and we also saw this against the Raiders a couple of weeks ago. Teams in that vein are usually going to make one or two losing plays. Like, Jameis is going to keep you in it, but history also tells you that Jameis or somebody on that team late is probably going to make one or two losing plays, and that ultimately is going to be the difference.
Jameis is going to Jameis. I mean, that's, you know, I know it's cliche, but it really is true. We've seen, you know, he's very entertaining, as everyone knows. I mean, he's a quote machine. He's one of the first guys you want to talk to. And if you don't find him, he'll probably find you. You know, he can make a play look outstanding, and he can, you know, show off his arm, and then he can make you just scratch your head going, what the hell was he seeing on that play? So, I think in the end, you just, you know, you go with certainly the better quarterback, no doubt, but I think the more cerebral unit, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. By the way, when are they going to get you doing one of those? They got to work you into the whole State Farm thing. I could see you doing that Andy Reid bundle-a-rooski do, which is one of my favorite commercials. They need to work you into that somehow. I'll have to get to the powers that be and see if we can work that out.
You know what, Chico? It's not even that I want a speaking role in this. I want to be one of the uniform teammates that he has that's cheering and offering up support to Patrick in the background. I don't need to be a star. Just put me in the background. Let me have where, like, you can see I'm in the commercial, but I'm not really in the commercial, you know?
But just the idea of you saying Bundelarooski do or those little nuggies, it just kind of, I don't know. It's been something I can't get out of my head. And that tells you what kind of season it's been over here in Cleveland, too.
Chico, let me get your thoughts on this. Next year, week one, whomever Cleveland is going to play, who do you think is going to be the starting quarterback for Cleveland? Who do Cleveland's fans want to be the starting quarterback?
As far as the first part of that, I think it's going to be Jameis Winston. I think he's going to get a little bit more money, obviously, than he's making now. He'll be the bridge quarterback. As far as who they want, I don't know. I don't know if it's you think about, is it a guy in the draft? None of the quarterbacks. That's one thing that has been talked about around here, is that there's really not one of these quarterbacks really stands out. So I think Browns fans would love to say, you know, the future, whoever that quarterback is, but I don't know if they know who that is, and the Browns certainly don't know who that is. But I really believe that week one, Jameis Winston's going to be that guy. He's going to be the bridge quarterback, and you know, whether they pick a guy up in the and whether it's a first rounder, whether it's later in the draft, who knows? Whether they go out and sign somebody, I don't know. But the sad situation is, you have a quarterback that is still 107. I can't believe I'm saying this. $172 million that they owe him, and you're pretty much just, you know what? Just stay away. Kind of like it was for different reasons with the Houston contract. I mean, I can't see Deshaun Watson in their plans. Why would he be in their plans except for the money that's owed? But it is a mess, man. When somebody says on one of the talking heads says that this is one of the worst contract situations in all of sports we've ever seen, that pretty much just sums it up. Sad but true.
We ask everybody this question. Give me your Chiefs win if scenario. Give me your Browns win if scenario for Sunday.
Ooh, okay. I like that. Browns win if Patrick Mahomes is sacked more than two times and Jameis Winston doesn't throw an interception. And you can throw in that little canned laughter in there. And then the Chiefs win if Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are able to hook up for 80 yards or more, for him alone, Travis, the Chiefs will win. By the way, can you put the bet? Is she coming to Cleveland? Is Miss Swift coming to Cleveland? Do we know? Because that's like all people have to worry about around here.
We actually don't know. So we do know she's in Kansas City. She yesterday was at the Big Children's Hospital here in Kansas City. Today is her 35th birthday. So I imagine she was here celebrating it with her boyfriend. We actually don't know if she's going to be in Cleveland or not.
Well, the way things are going, she might have to stay home and guard the house the way all these break-ins and burglaries. Yeah. No, we don't. I don't know. Everybody here is wondering. It's a big. You just wish that we could have the problems that you guys have, or the same, the same television stories that you guys have right now. Because ours right now are limited to, you know, is Taylor Swift coming to Cleveland, and is who's going to be the top pick for the Browns come April? It's just not how we plan it. Like I said, when I looked at that schedule very early, I thought, man, that's going to be a fun conversation with my buddy Carrington Harrison. And it's always fun, but it just doesn't involve both sides with a lot to lose or gain.
Well, Chico, you know what, man? Because I care about you, I'm going to tell you that I would get a head start watching Will Johnson play corner for Michigan. I would just get on YouTube right now. I would just start watching, because it seems to me like that's going to be Cleveland's, you know, first round pick. They're probably going to pick like seventh overall, and they're going to get the corner from Michigan.
Let me say this right now. This is why you and I are good friends. I'm already ahead of you on that, and I said that to somebody last year that, if Will Johnson, if the Browns get some, he is, he is an incredible football player, and Michigan or not, I don't care about that once they move on to the NFL. If the Browns were to land Will Johnson, I'll be ecstatic. So I'm all over that if it can happen.
That is our guy, Chico Borman, joining us on the show today. He's with the Big Play Network in Cleveland, getting you ready for Chiefs and Browns. Chico, man, happy holidays, man. It's always great catching up with you, man.
You as well, buddy. Have fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. That is Chico Borman joining us on the show today. Always happy to catch up with him, getting you ready for the game on Sunday. I do think that Cleveland, let's say that the Cleveland job opened up right now. Let's just say that it opened up. I think it's the worst job in the National Football League. And it's not the worst job because of the talent. I actually don't think the talent on Cleveland is that bad. Their quarterback situation is in such dire straits because you committed so much to Deshaun Watson that you got to just ride these next 2 years out. So maybe Cleveland drafts a quarterback. I could see a scenario in which, hey, we just, Jameis, we don't care what you do this year. Throw as many interceptions. We need you to start. We need you to hold it down. We're going to give you a raise. We need to get through at least 1 year of this Deshaun Watson contract, and then we can come out on the other side, and then we can go get our quarterback. But just, I don't know if you're Cleveland. You are locked in at least for 2 more years in the Deshaun Watson deal. You cannot do anything. Nobody is taking that trade from you. He is not playing well. I also don't know if you can put him back out there as the starting quarterback. You're going to need somebody to kind of fall on the sword for the organization. I think Jameis is prepared to do it. I think that Jameis is a very logical choice for them next year as their starting quarterback. I don't know if you can put a young quarterback in that spot for these next 2 years, because just with the way your cap situation is, you're not going to be able to put the necessary talent around them for the next 2 years to really give them a viable chance to go out there and win.
Make no mistake about it. The Browns have the worst quarterback situation in the NFL. Daniel Jones is bad and the Giants are not good. That situation is better because you can get out quicker. The Raiders and Aiden O'Connell and whoever the backup is out there nowadays. I know Aiden O'Connell's battling injury. That's a better situation than Cleveland.
No doubt. You laid
it out perfectly. They can't cut him. I mean, they can, but you're paying to have him not play football. You can't trade him because no one is trading for Deshaun Watson. And that's before you ever consider the contract. I don't think anyone's trading for that PR nightmare. And you can't play him because remember when he got hurt, they cheered. They Matt Castled him. They put him on the cart, and people in Cleveland were excited. Now, I don't think that's good behavior by fans to cheer an injury, but that is where the fan mindset is about Deshaun Watson. There is no worse situation than Cleveland, and they did it to themselves. They outbid themselves for Deshaun Watson, and they gave him all that guaranteed money. And no one feels bad for the Haslam family. No one feels bad for Cleveland, but they are in the worst situation. And Kevin Stefanski, who I think is a pretty good coach, might be okay full-time with Jameis, but man, if you're Kevin Stefanski, do you kind of want to get fired? Because you don't want to be the guy straddled with that nightmare going forward.
Looking at the text line, C-Dot, I think the Jets quarterback situation, I think they're in a worse spot. It's not close between the two. I'm not saying the Jets are in a great spot, but next year, if you're looking at Aaron Rodgers' contract, Aaron Rodgers' cap hit next year is $23 million. His dead cap is $49 million. Deshaun Watson's cap hit next year is $72.9 million, and his dead cap space is $172.7 million. If the Jets want to move on from Aaron Rodgers, you can. This is not the biggest pill that an NFL team has had to swallow. In fact, this is kind of par for the course. Philadelphia did this when they got rid of Carson Wentz. The Broncos are currently doing this with moving on from Bo Nix. You can manage if it's just, I mean, this is just 8% of your cap if you're the New York Jets, and then his contract's completely void for the back end of the deal. I'm not saying the Jets are in a great spot, but the Jets, if they want to pull the ripcord right now and get out with Aaron Rodgers, they're going to lose a little bit of cap space, and they're going to lose the draft pick, obviously, that they use to acquire the player. But the Cleveland cannot move on from this deal. The cap hit for next year and 2026 is $72.9 million. The dead cap is $172 for next year. It is $99.8 in 2026. They are stuck for the next 2 years. Absolutely stuck. So maybe you just outright released Deshaun Watson and you were just willing to eat the money and you're going to pay Deshaun Watson to stay away. You have already committed to this deal. There's no flexibility in the Deshaun Watson deal. He got $230 million guaranteed. Not some of it was guaranteed. I mean, every single dollar of it was guaranteed. Every single coin of it. You are not getting out of that deal. There is no manipulating the cap. The cap is real when it comes to Deshaun Watson's deal. You are not finding a way to wiggle yourself out of it. I do want to talk about last night because Jeff Allen said something really, really interesting. And I got a lot of respect for Jeff Allen. You guys remember Jeff Allen, former Chief, a whole lot of respect for him. He has taken a little bit of a different stance on the Campbell situation with San Francisco. Quote, an NFL player quitting mid-game is a clear sign that they are dealing with something heavy mentally or emotionally. Walking away from the game that they've worked on their whole life isn't impulsive. It's a cry for help. The problem is too often people rush to judge without understanding. Lack of perspective is what caused so much disconnect in the world. Instead of labeling him a quitter, selfish, or dramatic, let's ask what's really going on here. Behind the human helmet is a human being. And sometimes the bravest thing that they can do is step away and say, I need help. I think that both things can be true here. I do not know what this young man is dealing with. Have absolutely no clue. And I agree with Jeff Allen that at the core, NFL players do not just simply quit in the middle of the game on themselves and their teammates and then walk off the field. He didn't just quit yesterday on San Francisco. He retired essentially in the middle of the game. You can never sign that player. You can never have that player come back into your locker room. I don't care what team you are in the National Football League. You can never undo that. You can never unpress the button that he pressed yesterday. I can't trust you. I can't be alongside you. I can't trust you. I can't put my life in your hands, vice versa. We can get seriously, permanently injured out here playing football. I cannot go to battle with you. So I hope that he didn't make that decision in a rash judgment, and maybe we'll find out more and more. But I do think we have to pay attention to the fact of so many of his teammates and coaches came out and instantly were against it. It's not like you're getting this stance from the people that actually know who are on the inside. George Kittle was as strong against another player that you can be. Charvarius Ward was as strong against another player that you could be. Kyle Shanahan, he started the bus, rolled it over him, and then backed the bus up, and they cut him instantly today. He's already off the team. So, yes, something could be going on. He did the one thing you can't do in the National Football League. You can't do that. I don't care what the score is. I don't care the situation. They asked you to go in the game because of an injury. This is not a blowout at the end of the game. An injury happened. They asked you to go in the game. You said no, and then you walked off the field and left us out there. Yeah, you're done. That's grounds to never speak to you again kind of stuff in their profession. There's very few. Every job has those couple of things. Hey, you do that, I'm not fooling with you anymore. And everybody who signs up to do that thing knows the rule of what you're talking about. He broke the biggest code that you have as an NFL player. I don't know how you can look past that. Coming up on the other side, there are five major games this weekend in the National Football League. We'll get to each of them next. We got Nate Taylor coming up in about 20 minutes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by Nate Taylor, who does fantastic work for The Athletic. This is what I would like to do. Rob, there are five very important games this weekend in the National Football League. Why don't we take a little bit of time? Why don't we preview each of those games and give our picks and get people ready for, in my opinion, the best week of NFL action that we have had so far this season?
Carrington, let's start with what is the biggest game of the weekend. I'm talking about Bills and Lions. We're coming out the gate big. big time when it comes to Buffalo and Detroit. The Bills battling to stay in the one seed conversation. The Lions looking to ice down the one seed in the NFC. When Josh Allen and co head to Detroit, who you got on Sunday, 325, Nance and Romo?
The Lions are 2.5-point favorites in this game. I think the Lions minus 2.5 is the right side to be on. I think the Lions are the best team in the National Football League. If you're going to give me them at home and less than a field goal, I think that's the correct side to be on. This Lions team is just incredibly balanced. We're talking about a quarterback that should be getting more MVP buzz than he is. We're talking about a team that has by far and away the best rushing attack in the National Football League. Sam LaPorta has actually played a lot better in the second half of the season, so we got viable weapons on the outside with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, and you got Sam LaPorta in a defense that is very much improved from where they were a season ago. Give me the Lions in this game. I'm going to take them 27-21. I do think that the game is going to live up to the hype. I do think it's going to be one of the better games of the weekend.
I agree with you, and I think it's largely because, and this is the thing the Chiefs dealt with a lot last year, so don't get me wrong, absolutely no Chiefs fan is going to feel bad for the Buffalo Bills. There's a rest indifference here. There just is. The Lions played on Thanksgiving and then again on Thursday night. They've now had, 10 days to prepare for another home game, a third straight home game against the Buffalo Bills. Meanwhile, the Bills played the 325 game in L.A. and then had to come home before heading to Detroit. Detroit, I think, is better than Buffalo, but I think the fact that you're adding in this rest imbalance means the Lions are the right play. I think I saw ESPN's stats and analytics show it's like a 54% chance the Lions win the game. I would absolutely take LaFleur the Roar in this game. Staying in the 325 slate, Carrington, let's talk about a game that affects the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm talking about Colts and Broncos. Speaking of ESPN, I was watching NFL Live, and it mentioned that with a win, the Colts' chances to make the playoffs jump from 26% to 52%. With a loss, the Broncos are all but a lock for the postseason. Can Anthony Richardson, Shane Steichen, and co. go into Denver and surprise Peyton and the boys? Or is this the last interesting game in the AFC before January?
I think this is the last interesting game in the AFC. The Broncos, they don't have a win or a loss like this, excuse me, similar to the Colts. These are their losses this year. On the road against Seattle, Pittsburgh, a game against the Chargers, on the road against Baltimore, and on the road against Kansas City. This is a team that is playing really good football the last couple of weeks. They should have beat Kansas City. They scored 38 points against the Falcons, 29 against the Raiders, and they scored 41 points against Cleveland. So 27 on offense, and then they kicked, or they had the two pick sixes. I think this Broncos team is better than Indianapolis. I think they're going to outscore Indianapolis. I think this game could potentially be a blowout. I like the Broncos on the spread. I might even consider bumping it up a little bit to try to get the Broncos at plus money. It's at -4.5 right now. I might bump this up to 6.5. The Broncos by at least a touchdown. I can get that right now around 120 plus 130. I think that's the right play on this game.
Someone's got to explain to me why the Colts are considered a playoff team still. Like, I know the math. Beyond the math, what about the Colts on the field screams playoff football to
nothing.
You? Absolutely nothing. The Broncos are not a Super Bowl contender. Don't get me wrong. There are levels to this. But the Broncos are in that playoff level, and the Colts aren't. Maybe if they and Anthony Richardson hadn't taken himself out of a game this year, maybe if they hadn't benched him for Joe Flacco, maybe the world would be different. But those things happened, and those losses count. And I just do not trust the Colts on the road to go get a win like this. Do the Colts have a win of this magnitude all season?
No, I mean, the last four wins that they have, Tennessee, Miami, the Jets, and the Patriots.
I mean
you can maybe argue.
Soft.
You can maybe argue that, I mean, that they beat Pittsburgh early on in the season. I mean, that was the first month of the year. That was in September. It's almost Christmas time. So, yeah, I mean, if you're telling me those are your last four wins, you've also lost three or four of your last six, yeah, I'm picking the Broncos to win this game.
Good Lord, the 325 slate on Sunday is magical because not only do we get both of those games, which, how did the NFL allow this to happen? Like, before I talk about Eagles and Steelers, for a league that is so obsessed with being a television product, how on earth do three of the four biggest games of the weekend all end up on the same time slot? Yeah, it's great for Red Zone, but this is very bad planning by the league that every game of note to 325. If I'm Roger Goodell, I'm kicking myself because you basically cannibalized yourself because your people are not watching your biggest games. I digress. Steelers and Eagles in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Carrington, we've talked a lot about it. The Eagles are a different team with Saquon Barkley, but they are also the most dramatic team currently in the National Football League. They can't pass, and the receiver and quarterback seem to both hate it. Do you think they can band together and beat Pittsburgh, or does Russell Wilson's moon ball lead the Steelers to a victory on Sunday?
I'm taking the Steelers plus to 5.5. I'm also going to take the Steelers on the money line. This has just been a disastrous week for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I think we're going to see some results of that on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is an Eagles team that all week their focus has been about things that are internal. I also just think that this line is really indicative of the public yet just doesn't believe in the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think this is going to be the first week that people kind of come around like, oh, maybe Pittsburgh is actually a lot better than I thought. Russell Wilson is playing the best football that we've seen from him in the last couple of years. They've got a dual-headed monster with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, and we already know what their defense is going to be. 5.5 points is too many for me. Give me the Steelers plus 5.5. I'm also going to sprinkle a little bit on the money line.
Me and you see this one differently. I think all that drama, all that talking, all that noise is going to galvanize the Eagles. I think they're going to come together, they're going to bury the hatchet, and they're going to go out and they're going to make a statement against the Steelers. It's probably born out of the fact that I don't believe in the Steelers because it just feels weird to believe in that offense, but I think the Eagles make a statement and might even cover the number. I wouldn't bet it, but I'd be interested in it on Sunday. Last game, Carrington, Sunday Night Football, waiting all day for Sunday night.
I can't believe that you're going to skip past Chargers and Buccaneers, which is also a very, very important game. The Buccaneers are still trying to win their division. They're 2.5-point dogs.
It just feels like the
game.
Chargers are locked into the playoffs.
The Bucs aren't locked into the playoffs,
that's
though.
That's true. If you want to talk about Baker and the boys taking on the Chargers, who you got is the Bucs come to L.A. without Bucky Irving, by the way.
You know what? I'm going to take the Buccaneers to win this game outright. They are just a different team with Mike Evans. Since they've gotten Mike Evans back, they've kind of got back to the team that they were in the early part of the season. So, yeah, I think that Tampa Bay is going to go on the road, and I think they're going to win this game. Give me Tampa Bay on the money line. They've won 3 games in a row, and now that they have kind of stabilized themselves, again, with Mike Evans coming back, this is the team that started off the year 3-1. Yes, give me Tampa Bay.
And finally, waiting all day for Sunday night, the game that Carrie Underwood will sing before, Packers at Seahawks. Carrington, massive implications in the NFC West. Can the Seahawks pull the upset and basically ice down the division, or are you about to tell us about how the Rams are the team to watch out for the NFC West because the Packers are headed to the 12th man to get a win?
The Packers are actually the small favorite. Now, I'm going to take the Seahawks in this game, so I'm going to take the dog in this one as well. What have the Packers done to show us that they're going to go on the road and beat a team like Seattle? I just don't think they've proven that yet. We've seen kind of 2 different versions of the Green Bay Packers. In a lot of ways, they feel like last year's Miami Dolphins team, a Dolphins team that kind of beat up on everybody else but didn't really beat guys who were in the same weight class. That's kind of where I think this Green Bay Packers team is. Give me the Seahawks plus 2.5 at home. I think that the home field advantage, especially in a night environment, is going to be the difference. I think the Seahawks take care of business on Sunday. Coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. There are a lot of stories around this Chiefs team. Really excited to have Nate Taylor join us in studio. That's coming up next. Keep it right here. So drive.